Oh, yes. Hey, everybody. It's 2016, and my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys listen to Carolyn and Joe! Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey, man. Hey, girl. How you doing? My name is Joe Carabe. I'm a filmmaker. I am a photographer. I am a writer. And I am in the band Monday Mistress. But today, I am a podcaster. And across from me in the studio, as always, one of the greatest artists I've ever known, greatest people I've ever known, my cohort, my conspirator, my partner in crime, the designer and the super cartoonist extraordinaire, Carolyn Blefsky. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing great.
Great. Great. Max style.
Great.
Hey, man, we've crossed the line. 2015 is gone. It went by so fast.
I have a feeling this year's going to go by just as fast the way things are looking. I'm filling in my calendar and I'm like, what?
But what if it doesn't? What if it goes by so slow?
It would be nice if there were a couple months at least where it's just like, oh, I felt that month.
But see, those
so
types
it's
of...
not like it just washed away.
I guess that's good. But that's why we post, man, I guess. That's why we re-record it. That's why we have this podcast. This podcast, just so for you guys know, is a way for us, one, to document our life, you know, just to see what's on our thoughts, to bear in conversation with the friends, the family, the guests that we have on here that we always enjoy. And, I mean, it's one of those things. When you're on this show, we like you, you know? It's for us, it's for you. Hopefully the whole entire world enjoys what we give to you. But it is one of those things that's like, we're not here to make money, but we're here to make money that is conversation, make money that is the words and the stories that people want to hear. And that's why we're making this thing. You know, it's not really a business venture, but more or less an adventure. So people can, you know, hopefully see what's on our minds, because we don't really post out there. Those words just get lost in the white noise that is social media. But I feel like if you can hear our voices, if you can, you know, if you can understand how we say the words, how we pronounce the things, how we stutter, how we all do that stuff, it's more real. And 2016, man, for me, my theme is to make something that matters. And, you know, that was the cliffhanger from last year, but again, that's what it is. I want to make something that matters. So that's what this year is. Make something that matters. That's what I am.
I like that.
What about you, Carolyn? That was the cliffhanger from last time. Then what is the theme for you? What is your 2016 theme?
Well, I was going to go with focus, but I also like yours. I'm like, I'm going to steal yours. I want to do a combination of yours and mine.
What? Make something that matters?
Yeah.
Because
I actually want, you know, I've always been making stuff forever, but I want to make something and like truly focus this year instead of getting distracted about breaking the internet or whatever, Kim Kardashian's
butt. Because, like, I don't know, when you break the internet, like I said before, it gets fixed pretty fast. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's like the T-1000, it just heals immediately, and it's... I don't know. I'm, you know, people always think about their mortality. And in 2015, I really experienced a lot of those moments, you know, where like people, I'll bear witness to several things that reminded me of like, hey, dude, you're human. Take these moments and make it matter. You know what I mean? I've seen car accidents in front of me. I've seen people die that I think were dead to my left and my right. I've seen like injuries.
Wait, you've seen people die?
Not die, but like I've seen like... things, people I thought died, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like I'm, mentally died. You're not, like, they're gone.
Yeah, no, you like collapse on the floor and wow. Be like, oh, that. I was like, did that person just die next to me? You know, I've you know, like,
so like near death experiences.
I assume yes, but at that moment, it felt like a death. I feel like 2015 was a lot of
did
that.
Did you tell that story on the podcast?
I don't know. I don't think I have, but maybe
did
that maybe that's
it?
Something.
Did you want to?
Maybe that's something we can say for another participant that was
oh,
that
okay.
was there as well.
Yeah,
it was a great story. We can look at it now and we can laugh, but I know at that moment, at least the people were there. It was that situation where like, oh my god, did someone just die like at my feet? Literally,
I know
at
that
my
we're
feet.
Missing some encounters, but I feel like the viewers need to the listeners need to know.
Yeah, hopefully they'll pay attention to that in the future. But
in future episodes,
but that's what 2015 was for me. A lot. It was a lot of reminding me of, like, you know, I know I spoke before. It's about like half the battle showing up, mm-hmm. and like I was constantly reminded of like, dude, you could die tomorrow, and what did you? What did you make? What did you do?
So
what
you
was your
like,
contribution?
You had death basically chasing. Not necessarily you, but it was near you.
So many like reminders of like, dude, this could be your chance right now. This could be your moment. Go out there and wake up. Wake up and do that. You know, bust your ass to make that happen.
And also I like that you added that matters, because so many times people are making things and it doesn't really matter. It's not as impactful enough.
And I really, I feel like, you know, maybe I make things to an annoyance, like with other people. They're like, oh, you're always doing things and you're always doing that. And like, you're so busy. And, you know, and that might be true. And I felt like even in 2015, I've never gone out of my way to tell some, I feel like I've never gone out of my way to say like, hey, I'm too busy for you. You know, I felt like I bust my ass a lot of times to not give that impression for people so I can have time for them. And I don't know, like, I feel like that wasn't like returned otherwise, but so I was just reminded, like, maybe you need to do something that matters to you, Joe. You need to do something like this podcast matters to me, because it's a record. It's everything like that. It's people hearing my voice. And I used to not be a talker. Oh, I wasn't a talker. I still am not a talker. So, but it's good for this to get out, at least for that. But, you know, I guess 2015, I was reminded a lot of like, dude, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Don't worry, man. Someone could drop dead in front of you. What did you do today? So I was always thinking of all the stuff I've done. It's like, okay, if you were to die today, what did you do? And that's something, again, that I've learned. Even that's one of the reasons why I enjoyed Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That was in the one of the first episodes. One of the first lines was all about, like, carpe diem. You know, I learned carpe diem from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, like, that was one of the first things I got. Like, you know, seize the day. And constantly got to seize the day. And that brings us to another thing that, you know, one I have to apologize for, but I'm bringing this out there. We're going to start 2016, first episode of the year, as a episode. It's almost like the 2015 missing episode, Carolyn, don't you think?
Missing in action.
Missing in action episode. And yes, it involves Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And if you guys have noticed, we were advertising a lot during just before AwesomeCon that we were going to have Amber Benson on the Carolyn and Joe Show podcast. And it happened. It definitely happened live at AwesomeCon. It was a really awesome room. There's a lot of people that were there, enjoyed the podcast. And you know what? It's technical things happen when sometimes the recorder wasn't going, and technical things, and you only have a portion of that that recording that happened.
I actually don't really know why or how or what, because I saw the numbers going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on our little recording device, you see the numbers. And then all of a sudden, I guess Joe looked over and saw that there were no numbers.
Yeah, and like...
And then so then I like restarted the recorder and just started taping whatever was left of the show.
Yeah.
So...
And we have a portion of that, almost proof that we were there. Proof that
that
amazing show happened. And one of the things I got to do to start off the bat is really to... just for me, honestly, I need to apologize for Amber, because I know Amber Benson, because I know she was expecting this podcast sooner to come out there, and I tried my hardest to, I don't even know what I could have done, but I tried my hardest to get that audio file, and it was just at the point of no return, or to the point of it didn't exist. But I remember seeing a recording, and I don't know what to say. But we have a portion of that podcast. But what I want to do right now is at least let's talk about you and I, Karen. Let's talk about how awesome it was just to have that there. First of all, I got to say that...
Let's let people know Amber Benson played the character of Tara.
Yes, the revolutionary character of Tara in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. One of my, if not my favorite TV show of all time. And to me, it was amazing to have her on the show in front of an audience. Just to be able to do this, what we do here live, was such a great honor. And she was a great character, and she sang in the show, you know what I mean? And like, you know, it's she was the girlfriend of Willow. She was a major player in that show. Major player.
Definitely. And also, since I know that you are the Buffy fan that you are, ever since day one, that was like your thing. All throughout high school. I don't know when that show first came out, but was it middle school or high school? Middle school, right?
Probably been around the, yeah, maybe around.
What year did it debut?
That's a tough one. That was 96.
Okay. I don't know for sure. Well, then that was, who knows?
That was like eighth grade for me.
So middle school, that was maybe before 96. Yeah. So we don't know the dates officially, but Joe was already on the Joss Whedon bandwagon. You were in the first train waving the flag of all of his worlds, and he's been a big influence on you, and you have really enjoyed Buffy ever since I've known you. Long time ago in middle school, I remember that was your thing. You know, you see like kids, even just like, you know, in high school or young kids, and you're like, that's their thing, or they're really into this or that. But yours was Buffy.
Yeah. And you know what's really cool though is, you know, when we have like, you know, she tried to debunk me that she's not a celebrity when we did the podcast. Uh-huh. But you know, she's a real awesome person, and to me that's better than a celebrity.
Yeah.
So she's a real awesome person. That's better than a celebrity, you know?
If I could get into her mind for a second, I feel like when she's saying that she's not a celebrity, I feel like she's not like,
it's not like
she's
a Brad Pitt.
She's saying that she's not of like the high caliber in terms of like the ones that are in glossy magazines everywhere.
Yeah.
Like she's not that. Maybe she might have been in some of those magazines, I'm not quite sure, but I mean I don't see her on the cover of all these tabloids, you know? Like she's not like this like Paris Hilton Kardashian that you see everywhere. And maybe she has that definition of a celebrity, which is, in my opinion, that's what celebrity is becoming, not necessarily what you create, but just this whole mystique of your name value, I guess. So, you know, maybe there might be people out there that don't know who Amber Benson is. So this podcast is an awesome opportunity to introduce her to the world, because not only was she an actress on Buffy, but she also directs and produces her own films.
So let's see what we can do, because, you know, a large portion of this podcast was not recorded. Basically, we record the end. Like the last 15 or so minutes. So what we got to do right now, just to sort of paint the picture for people, I'd like just for us to run through what our experience with Amber, the Amber experience. It's pretty much what it is.
Like, well, I mean, just like visually, she's a very good looking woman. I mean, I don't even think she was wearing any makeup. If she was, it was very subtle because I couldn't even tell.
A natural beauty that she was.
Yeah, she's like a natural beauty because like I couldn't even tell just by being face to face with her. So if you know, if she was wearing any, it was super light. It wasn't like she was like a made up celebrity. And I know sometimes when I like to go out for events, like I need to put on makeup. So I'm like, oh, I need to look, you know, halfway presentable. But with her, it looked like she wasn't wearing any. So that to me felt like she was really confident in her look, you know. And she also did seem a little tired because I guess she was doing a lot of writing in the airport or, you know, on her travels. And
well, let me try to paint the picture of the process of the day, because like I like to do before each one of the panels that we have, I like to meet with the people who we're going to have on the panel. Or if I'm moderating something, I like to meet with them before we go on there, so we're on the same page. So I met with her at her booth, you know, like shook her hands. I'm like, hey, I'm Joe, just so you can have a match of face to the thing, match of face with the name. And then she was already cool to get to go. She said, yeah. And I was like, so what would you like to talk about? It's like, let's just do this live. Let's talk about anything. Yeah. I can do uncensored. I was like, yeah, let's do this uncensored, man. That's why, again, it was like such a thing where I was like, oh, it sucks that, because it was an uncensored conversation of amazing just rawness that we had. And so when the show was starting, just so I want people to know how it went, like, you know, you were at the table first, and then usually I like to meet, you know, when they bring in the guests and celebrities, they come through the back. So I was already in the back waiting for her, but there was like no one there. But then when I came out, she was already there hanging out with you.
Yeah, I was actually like trying to somehow get in contact with your phone because I didn't know if you had it on or if you had it on you. And I was like, I think I texted something like, she's here, you know, like, come on out. And you're just hanging out in the back. But eventually you peeped through and she was already out. Like, she didn't come through like the back entrance celebrity way.
Yeah.
She came through like the main attendee entrance door yeah. that everyone else uses. So that's cool. I mean, I feel like she is very down to earth. She knows how, you know, Hollywood can be.
But here's the thing, though. Like, you know, I just want to go. I need to go step by step because a lot of people. I'm in my head. I would like to try to remember as much as I can.
Yeah, yeah.
To get this out. So, the beginning of the show, at least as far as I can remember, we're already sitting up there. We're trying to figure out, like, okay, so how are we going to do this? How are we going to coordinate? So, of course, like Carol and I were on the right side, and then Amber is on the left of the stage. And, you know, we were ready to rock out. So I went, turned off the music, and we're off and going. I thought I pressed the recorder, but I, you know, truth be known, didn't really happen. But we did our normal awesome entrance.
I thought you did.
No, it did. But like,
I saw
guess,
the numbers.
Sure. But you know, but the proof is in the data. So like after that, you know, we're off and running. What? You have a weird look in your face.
I mean, I'm trying to remember that exact moment. Cause
it doesn't matter now. It's too late. But once we get there, we're ready to go. You know, there's always that mindset of like, I don't really know how to, you know, it's like, how are we going to start this? So we go in and we do our, hey, my name's Joe, it's Carolyn, it's Carolyn Joe Show. And today, a special guest here at Awesome Con, I welcome Amber Benson. You know, she did an awesome hello. And, you know, I'm trying to remember what's the first thing I said, but I think one of the first things we had a conversation about was like, I brought the fact that, like, she crossed the line because, like, as in, like, she went from an actress to making her own stuff. And I felt like that was such a, to me, because I'm a filmmaker, I felt like that was the best way for me to, that was the only way for me. I'm not an actor, so I was like, that's the best way for me to connect with her. You know what I mean? To connect into a conversation. And what I felt that breached right into was she went right into it. She was, like, legit about, like, making movies, making stuff. About making stuff that's worth it, making stuff that's, you know, like that's yours, that's your ownership, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I found from her that was really great. What do you remember off of that?
Yeah, that was like basically what I really came across with, because she also released her movie She Venge.
Yeah.
So I was like really into hearing about that because I saw the trailer online, and I just wanted to know about her influences and everything about where she came from. I didn't really want to know much as much about Buffy anymore because I feel like that she might have been already asked a ton of those questions.
Yeah, that's a tough thing because, like, you know, there's a challenge of, like, or at least for me,
I don't like... Also, it's like living in the past a little bit,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
and I don't like asking the question that's always been asked, you know what I mean? I don't like repeatedly, like, oh, yeah, so how is it going in this world, or... we need to break new ground in the conversation, and maybe, you know, if you're at the show, I'd like to give some people like new info that they haven't heard yet from our guest. And I think that's what, it was really cool because there was a time where we got really, really like technical towards what we were talking about when it came to like film production and like working with crew and stuff like that. And
you were going over some tech specs.
Yeah. And I thought that was amazing. And like, I remember there's a time in the crowd where I was like, are we getting way too technical for you guys? And then they're like, no, keep going.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. That was like really, really amazing. And we got like all passionate. Like there was a time where we legit got passionate towards like the way movies are made today. It's like, there's no original thoughts. And how come people are controlling the budgets, or how it is actually like making a movie. It's like, you can feel like it's your own and you have your own body and crew and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those are amazing things that, to me, it was great to be able to, it wasn't a fluff
piece.
Didn't
she also talk about how, like, you know, in some parallel universe of our show not fully recording, you know, the podcast with Amber, she did tell a story about how she was doing her own film.
Tell the story, yeah.
I don't know exactly all the specifics because this was like back in, what was it, May of 2015. So I'm trying to reignite my brain. And it basically came down to her filming, I think, for like most of the day. And they like had the footage, but then they taped over it.
That was
they basically lost some footage. So I was like, and you know, when we found out that our show, like, I guess didn't tape the full interview. I was like, what? And then I thought of her story because we were trying to get that back that night. And then I think for a while I was looking on YouTube to see if anybody taped it.
Yeah, that, there was a big journey. I had a really serious journey about trying to find the rest of the audio from our show. Because I swear I saw so many cameras up while we were there.
Because there were people taping, because you also interviewed Allison Mack.
And I saw cameras that are up during our show, and people are so fast to post onto YouTube. So I was like, maybe I can, you know, you might yank that audio and use that here. But like, there's so many things. I mean, I guess it's just a memory that's going to be in our mind. But I just remember having such an amazing real conversation with like a real co-artist. You know what I mean? Like, and that's one of the great stories that she told. How like that is a filmmaking thing where, you know, like when film gets erased. And she's like, oh, that was one of our, you know, when we're first starting out making movies, of course, like we accidentally taped over it. And, you know, we were talking about cameras and stuff like that. And I loved all of that. You have such a weird look on your face. What's going on?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, talking about the tape that got taped over.
Yeah. And of course, just
thinking about it, it's like who knows? That's unknown footage. Like what could be on there? You know?
I swear to God. Any other time that we're in the same vicinity, I'd love to have Amber back on this podcast so we can get a full entire show. You know, I mean, if she's in the area or if we're making a film, that'd be great. If we're making a film, I'd love just to have Amber on one of the Carolyn Joe Show podcasts.
And like you said earlier, it's cool that she is such a cool human being.
Yeah.
Like on top of everything.
It's real.
I think
it's real.
She's a really cool chick and she's there, man. She's real. She exists, and she's a hero to so many people, not only through her character on Buffy, but also just as a person. I think that's awesome. She's a good person.
Yeah. So if anyone else out there has the rest of the if anyone else out there at all has the Amber Benson, Carolyn Joe Show recording podcast from AwesomeCon, let us know and let the world know, and we'll get that out there because I want to hear it too. I thought that was great. I thought there was a lot of great stuff. But basically, what we should do right now is we should just let the world know or let the world have what we have.
Existing
have
content.
What we have. And what's really great is you can...
The lost file
Amber
Benson.
You can, yeah, it's the lost Amber Benson file. What you guys can feel is that we were such at a high energy pitch that's why it's so sad to me that we lost all that because it was such a great energy out there. It was so freaking awesome. Amber is awesome. I want to work with Amber. I want to make a million movies with Amber and like anything. A writer, let's just, you know, let's not bullshit this world. Just make stuff happen and make stuff that means something. And yeah, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the rest. Enjoy what we have of the Carolyn and Joe Show live at AwesomeCon with awesome real person Amber Benson. We will catch you after that.
Devastated by this, and to like then go, oh, now you know this character that we love is going to be bad. And there was a possibility that maybe she might be redeemed. It was all very nebulous. But I was thinking about it, and then I had been hired by the BBC to direct this animated show called The Ghost of Albion that my friend Chris Golden and I wrote, and it was basically the same chunk of time. And it was like, well, what do I want to be doing? Do I want to be the bad guy and really rip some hearts out and make a lot of money? Or, you know, directing is something that I really want to be doing. And this is my first opportunity to really, like, get in there. And, like, I got to direct Anthony Daniels. He did one of the voices, C-3PO, from all the Star Wars movies. And, I mean, and Emma Sams was in it. And, like, I mean, it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. And for me, it was kind of like, well... That is what I want to be doing. It seems like I should be doing that. As much as, you know, I loved my time on Buffy, I felt like we had told her story, and to like to play around with people's emotions again, I don't know. I was a little on the fence about that. I was glad that I had an out. Let's put it that way. So, you know, as much as, like I said, as much as it would have been financially nice to sometimes you do things and you're like, oh, well, it is what it is. And, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But in the moment, it was the best choice I could make for myself. And I'm really proud of The Ghosts of Albion. We did two of them for the BBC. It's one of the first like web series, but we did it, you know, for the internet. And it was done, the animation was done by the guys that do Danger Mouse, and it's really neat, so.
All right, I know that Girl in the Blonde. Yep, you.
Yeah, I was wondering, I don't know if you ever like go back and watch the Buffy series, or just maybe going back and reflecting on it now that you can take a look at it from a director's standpoint. Are there any episodes that you think were either done really well or something that you were maybe like, oh, I understand why that didn't work now?
I don't think there was anything that I ever was like, oh, that doesn't work. I feel like they were pretty on point. I mean, by the time I got there, which was the fourth season, they'd been doing it for a long time, and they really had their stuff in order. As far as like things that I think are great, you know, the Hush stuff is brilliant. It's so smart. It's so interesting. The writing is amazing, but the directing on that end was really like unique. You know, it was frightening. Like it was one of the few scary things I've seen on television. Like it was genuinely frightening. And I think that is a testament to like what Joss did as a director. And then the musical was also really fun to do. I love the playing with the you know, what we were talking about with the You Make Me Come, you know, playing with the censors and doing, and you know, I think that was pretty fun and sort of, you know, breaking you know, the sort of the system down and going, all right, well, we're playing within you system, but we're kind of perverting you at the same time. And then the body, I think the body was really well done. I think it was really important, and it was very emotionally, I think there's a lot of resonance for a lot of people with that, if you've lost somebody.
So. I have a question. How is Joss Whedon like as a director?
He was really wonderful. Like one of the things that I like in a director when I'm an actor is I like a director who knows what they want. Because when someone comes up to you and like, well, what are you feeling? I'm like, just tell me what you want. And he, you know, like, because it is his world. We're just the playthings in his world. He knew what he wanted, so he'd be very specific about what he wanted from you, and I appreciate that. I really like that as an actor. Tell me what you want, and then let me go do it. I don't need you to like, make me feel like, oh, I'm collaborating with you by telling you what I want to do. I don't know what voice that is. Like, I want to just go in and do it. I'm like, let's go do this. Some people want to, like, collaborate and do and like find it together, and I'm just like, I always want to go do my thing. Let me go do my thing.
Sometimes I feel when they do that, they sort of don't know.
They don't actually know, and they want you to figure it out.
Well, that is what I have discovered, is when you have a lot of people that don't know what they want, and they're sort of like flying by the seat of their pants, and they're like, well, you help me, and I will help you if that's what you want, but. You know, I think it moves faster and we get things done, and it looks better in the end as a whole when somebody has an overarching vision. That's my two cents on directing. But with television, it's a little different because the directors aren't really in charge of things the way that they are in independent film or film. It's the showrunner. They dictate what happens. And so, you know, I always say that, like, I want to direct films, but I want to showrun television. I don't want to direct television because it is very rote. Like you were saying, it's a very repetitive. We have a shot here, and it looks like this, and we're over this person's shoulder, and every shot is already, you've seen it in every episode. So it's like Law and Order. Like, you know what a Law and Order episode looks like, right? Every time, you know what's going to happen. It's because it's formulaic, because that's what you pay for. That you want to sit down and be like, oh, I know this well. Whew, relax. Well, I don't want it, like, I want it to, you know, and I assume you're probably like me, you want it to, like, jar people, be crazy, make you think, and make you move, and
it's funny, because, like, I feel sometimes there's that sort of, you know, fresh audience, they're not ready for that, too, like, that's just the normal TV audience, they just want to be like, okay, what you got, okay, that was cool, we're gonna go eat chips now, or something like that. They don't want to have to think real hard sometimes. I wish they did.
Well, that's why cable is great. You know, Netflix and HBO and Showtime and FX even. Like, Louie, watch Louie. Talk about...
I actually love... Louie's super cinematic. I love Louie.
It's simple, but it's so simple. It looks like real life. It looks very genuine.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. But also, you've got to find your audience, because like you're not going to try to go to the lowest common denominator. So if you want somebody who actually does think, you know, you can create that movie and they will come to you.
Yeah. It's either, you know, you can, what is it, 3.5 minute or 2.5 minute, or you can, there's 3.5 minute in this party. but you can have like that, which kind of appeals to everybody. Everyone can find something in there. Or you can do Louie, who is sort of like, screw you, I'm doing what I want to do and you can go on the journey with me or not. I don't give up.
Yeah.
I don't know what if I can curse or not. I think I might have said one dirty word by accident.
We have a question. Run DMC or I can't see the rest of it.
Run ABC.
Run ABC. Okay.
It's got the
Sesame Street characters. That's awesome.
So where do you find money?
I like to keep my eyes down on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Social security number?
Or the sky.
You said there was like mega budgets and then there's like micro budgets.
Yeah.
Yeah,
tent poles.
So, obviously, you're not going to get a Michael Bay type of, well, I mean, it'd be nice.
It would be nice.
Not yet, right?
That would be nice. We would all love to have Michael Bay money.
You know, you can put a lot of explosions in.
Well, I would love, I mean, that's something that I'm interested in, is that's why I did this short She-Venge, because it's basically three girls, it's their revenge fantasies. And the first one was set up like almost like a Kill Bill sequence. The second one was like a weird, I sort of say it's my the cook, the thief, the wife, and her lover moment. There's some stuffing of things into people's throats, kind of killing them via, not books like in the movie, but other things in mine. And then there was like a 70s horror with a lot of grain. Yeah. And like, I love horror films. I'm like thrillers, horror, I love that stuff. So I would love to be doing that, but there are very few women. I think Mimi Leder is like one of the only ones, and Catherine, you know.
Right.
That's
so,
it.
So as a woman, I mean, you know, it's your bar is even set higher than
tis.
And, you know, I think of Kickstarter and
So here's my 2 cents on raising money. First of all, I'm not good at it. It is not my bag. There are people in this world that can make that happen. They just know how to wheel and deal. They just have that personality. They're business people. They know how to make other people feel comfortable and to give them money. That is not me. And I'm always on the lookout for somebody who can be my partner in crime and help me raise funds. But what I have done is I sort of went the John Sayles model. John Sayles is one of speaking of filmmakers I love, just he's an incredible filmmaker. He makes these very, you know, small budget independent films, and then he goes and does big budget, like ghost screenwriting, and he takes the money that he makes and funnels it into the stuff he wants to do. So he's basically playing the system. And that is what I've always done. I've taken the money that I made on Buffy and I made a film. I sold dolls of myself and made a film.
That's called investing in yourself.
Yeah,
we were doing, you know, Kickstarter-y kind of stuff pre all of that. So I've always found weird, interesting ways to use my celebrity, as much of it as there is, and there's not that much. But what I do have to like funnel funds into making things that I want to make, and then I make available to other people. With She-Venge, they did Indiegogo and Kickstarter, and they raised, I was brought in as a gun for hire, but they raised money that way. And I think if you are a stand-up person, and you don't dick people around, and you don't not send out your perks, and you finish your film, it's fine to use those means to raise money. I think it's really good, actually. Yeah.
And, you know, and let's give her a couple of lines, and, you know, and we can make a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, like the new show Daredevil.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, you know, it's totally not like a comic, and you know, there's so much character development.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that's Stephen DeKnight, who came from Buffy, who's awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, and is there a smaller chunk of money that you get from Netflix or something like this that's not in this not in the Hollywood system?
The problem with things like Netflix is that they are in the Hollywood game, and they're not interested in people that are doing independent things. They want, because they're trying to make their you know, their bottom line, so they're taking people that are already established and giving them carte blanche to do really neat things. But it's Jenji Kohan, it's, you know, it's David Fincher, like, these are not, you know, or it, on the lower end, it's like the Duplass brothers, but they're famous too. Like, you're not dealing with unknown entities or smaller, they're still dealing with bigger, and Amazon is doing the same thing. Like, I think they just threw a bunch of money at Woody Allen to make a, you know, a TV show.
And he didn't even have any type of pitch for it, too.
No, they chased him.
Yeah.
They're like, we want you. Here's a lot of money. I guess they have to do
so,
that.
Like,
I can't do it, Alex.
For everyone, for everyone else, like, we have to have, like, a pitch and, like, this big presentation of, like, these are our plans. But whereas Woody Allen, he has such a big name value that you can just go with his name and he doesn't even have anything.
But I, you know, I think Hollywood is not interested in any of this stuff. They're a business. And I think what we're interested in doing, it sounds like a lot of us, is making art. We're like, we're interested in telling a story because it moves us, because we're passionate about it. And yes, if we can make our money back or make a little more so we can make another move, like, that would be amazing. But, you know, when you're dealing with people who are business people, who have MBAs and who are making creative decisions, it's frightening. I've been on the development pitching process with my book series, like, and you know, I remember going into, like, this big company. We went in three different times, and each person was the next level up, and every one of them had a different idea of what they wanted. So you get to the end, and they're like, "Can you just take the corporation out of that?" I was like, "That's the and okay. What do you want?" but it's a lot of people who are trying to, you know, keep their jobs, so they're really sort of weighted to say no, and they're trying to make money. It's like, how are you going to make me money? How is this going to make us money?
Thus, show business.
Yeah, show business. It's a bummer, and I didn't, as a, you know, when I was a teenager doing this, I was like, I'm going to change it. No, you're not changing it. I mean, you can kill it, but you can't change it. That's about it. But, you know, you can, like what Kevin Smith has done. Look, he's sort of worked within the system and outside of the system. You can, I think that is the best way to be a creative individual. Wouldn't you say?
I love Kevin Smith for doing that. Those guys have always inspired me just to do it your way.
And, like, you already are a trailblazer going from your TV presence to everything else that you're creating on your own.
I like you.
And
we're friends.
But little, I'm just saying, little by little, we're making progress, and I think things will start to change, and a couple people will, like, sneak their way into being Hollywood, whatever you want to judge that by.
Ryan Johnson. But we
got to wrap up soon.
Oh, shit. Go ahead.
But one more just to wrap this up, can we all do the evil laugh again on my count? Because that was one of the greatest movie moments in history. All right.
I don't think you can recreate it.
Three, two.
We can end it with.
Three, two, and. All right, guys, I want to thank you. That was awesome. You guys are the best. Amber is awesome.
Thank you guys for having me on the show. This has been really fun. I think you guys have made my time in Washington, D.C. complete.
Yeah,
that was fun. Hey guys, how long are you staying in DC? Yep. There you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed that. Carolyn and Joe show live at Awesome Con with special, super, real, awesome person, Amber Benson. You know her from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She plays Tara, and also she's a freaking awesome filmmaker. She's doing what needs to get done. I had a great time on that panel, Carolyn. Did you?
It was amazing, and I just remember walking away with such a good feeling and a feeling of empowerment, so that not only for her projects, but also for anyone else in the audience that listened to that, that the feeling that you can make anything that you want to make.
I think
that's a great feeling.
To me, I thought it was a super wild panel. Like, I wish the world could hear it, man. I wish the world saw the rest of that. So I'm going to reiterate that. Amber, wherever you are, if you hear this, let's do that again. Let's do this thing again. Let's make stuff happen.
Take two.
Take two. Maybe it can happen in 2016. I don't care. It needs to happen. Such a great reason.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, why not?
Why not? Why not, world? Why not? So 2016, man. What do you want to happen in 2016, Carolyn?
I want to make stuff, get stuff going, focus the positive energy on what needs to be done, and not get distracted with other commotion.
That's right. That's right. Focus.
I mean, this year's already going pretty good. I finished, like, my Magic Bullet entry, and I've also written a screenplay. I did start to write it, like, end of last year into this year, but I technically finished it this year already. So that's exciting, and, I have stuff going up my sleeve. We got stuff going up our sleeves. We have exciting stuff going on. We have our first tour date in May, which is 5 months from now, but
it's true.
We're going to be at Tidewater Comic Con in Virginia Beach.
So we got a bunch of other stuff. Yeah.
We got stuff.
I'm directing the Awesome Con commercial coming up. Directing it next week. Bigger, badder than last year. Making history, making films. We got all a bunch of stuff happening, but we like the mystery.
Yes.
If there's anything that's happening in the world of Carolyn and Joe, you will hear it here on the Carolyn and Joe Show. Again, thank you guys for tuning in at the beginning of 2016, the first show of 2016. And just so you know, this show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabot.com. Awesome new website. Also go to onehyphenshots.com for some films I've made. Go to stray.tumblr.com. Check out some updates, which is also attached to joecarabot.com. Also, Reverb Nation /Monday Mistress, also Facebook /Monday Mistress. Check out my band, or the band that I'm in, that I play bass. Great, great rock. Rock, rock, rock. Rock, 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 rock. Carolyn, what do you got?
All right, so many URLs here going on. You can find me on social media just using my name at Carolyn Belewski. And I have a website, it's simply carolynbelewski.com. And you can also check out my comic strip at curls-studio.com/curls.
And don't forget to check out the Carolyn and Joe Show iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, carolynandjoeshow.com. 2016, I am coming for you. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
Thanks for listening, and remember that you're bona fide.
That's right. That's right. Good night.